The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Were Old Testament saints and our tribulation saints going to be sealed just as church-age saints are today? What are the ministries of the Holy Spirit in different time periods? And can a Roman Catholic person be saved? What makes a person born again? Some really good questions we're going to be thinking about here in the next few minutes, so stay tuned. This is the Grace Evangelical Society's podcast and broadcast ministry called Grace in Focus. Thank you for joining us today. We are glad to have you here. If you want to find out more about us, go to our website, faithalone.org. You'll find our people and our positions and many of our resources and articles. That's at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Ken Yates and Bob Wilkin.
We have a question that, well, we deal with the tribulation and the book of Revelation occasionally on some of the questions we get, and here's another one. And Bob, Leo is asking about tribulation believers. Now, after the rapture of the church, we know that many are going to come to faith. Now, he asked the question, now tribulation saints won't be sealed with the Holy Spirit, right? Just like Old Testament saints. So this is a two-part question. Were Old Testament saints sealed with the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
And then therefore will tribulation saints, people who come to faith in the tribulation, will they be?
Okay, here's how I remember this. And I think I got this little memory device at Dallas Seminary. But I think of the word ribs, R-I-B-S. In the church age, four things, there's more than four. Chafer said there were 33, but four things the Holy Spirit prominently does at the moment we believe in Christ. He regenerates us. He permanently indwells us.
That's the I.
He baptizes us into the body of Christ, places us into the church, and S, he seals us forever, makes our salvation secure. So, R-I-B-S. In the Old Testament, there was no church, so there was no B, no baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, although some people were indwelt, it was not a permanent indwelling. That's why David can say, please do not take your spirit from me. That's why the spirit could be taken from King Saul, and he could be troubled. Remember, Jesus says the Holy Spirit has been with you to the disciples in the upper room, but he will be in you. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit being with believers as compared to in the believers.
So you're making a distinction there with the I indwelt, that's the in the believers.
Right. Yeah. And I and B were not true of Old Testament believers. They were not permanently indwelt. They were not baptized in the body of Christ. And that will, at least the B part will not be true of tribulation saints. Now, will tribulation saints be permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit? I tend to think so, but I don't think we have any verse in the book of Revelation that tells us one way or the other. So, but they will be regenerated and they will be sealed, just like Old Testament believers were regenerated and sealed.
So if we're talking about the ribs here, the R then would simply be basically born again.
Given
they have
everlasting life. Right.
So the R is they have everlasting life.
Right.
And I think everyone, at least Free Grace folks, would agree with that. Old Testament believers, let's just pick one, David. He had eternal life, so he was the R.
Right.
But he was not a part of the body of Christ, so he's not a B.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit could leave him. That's what he's praying in the Psalms. So
right.
He didn't have the I. So really, the only issue here is, and this is the question that Leo's asking, the sealing. What does that sealing mean?
Okay, we did a word study when we were at Dallas Seminary. One of the first ones we did, the word for sealing is sphragizo. And it doesn't occur a lot in the New Testament. But one of the places it occurs was Jesus' tomb. What happened with the tomb that relates to sealing?
Pilate sealed the tomb and put his seal on there. He secured it so the body couldn't be taken.
Right. And he put his seal on it. He also put a guard in front of it. But he had this seal that made it secure. The idea of sealing, you know, they would take wax, hot wax, and put it on, let's say, an envelope. And if that was the wax of the king, it was very, very important. And it meant that what was contained in this letter had the authority of the king. And sealing was something that made what was inside of it secure.
Yeah, I remember.
So he secured our salvation, making us eternally secure. Hypothetically, a person could be regenerated and not secure, although that's not true because regeneration is guaranteed. I mean, once you have everlasting life, you've got it forever, but that's because sealing is also true.
I remember doing that years ago as well at Dallas. It seems like also part of it was the person who does the sealing is marking that thing off as his possession. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes.
Do I remember that right? So, for example, when even Pilate, when he puts his seal on the tomb, he's not saying this tomb is mine, but this is my authority. This is...
It's protected by Rome.
So when we look at the believer in the Old Testament, and we look at the believer here in the tribulation, if we say he is sealed, we would say that means they are secure in their eternal life.
Right.
And they are God's possession.
Yeah.
And would you say that is simply something that happens when I'm born again? Or is this something in addition? Is this more like, you know, like the believer today is baptized in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit, when he regenerates the Old Testament believer, then puts a seal around him where he'll never leave? How would you describe
Not that? You mean that the Holy Spirit will never leave?
Well, that wouldn't be, because that would be the I. But
well, in terms of the indwelling is a little bit different than the Holy Spirit being present in
right.
a person's life, I think. Because when a person is regenerated, there's the life of Christ within them. Now, there's always a question, what do we mean when we have eternal life? So, and Jesus is eternal life, so we have his life. Does that mean that we're indwelt by the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Because the Father is Spirit, the Son is Spirit, and the Spirit is Spirit. Or does it mean we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and that's the same as Jesus being in us, you know, Christ in us?
Mm-hmm.
I tend to think it means that the Holy Spirit is Christ in us, but I wouldn't rule out the fact that we're indwelt by the Trinity.
Okay, so the sealing there, is it more or is it just simply what we're saying there is, okay, you have eternal life and you can never, you know, the R of ribs.
Yeah.
And you're sealed. It's yours forever.
I think it is. You are secure. Now, your idea about being God's own possession, I think that probably is the point in Ephesians 6, you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like bought with your price means we're God's. And of course, Scripture talks about us being his possession and his inheritance and other things.
Yeah, and I think in Ephesians 1, I think we have to look at also the purchase price there. I think it might very well just be the church, that the church is in Ephesians 1 anyway.
Yeah. But,
okay, I have another question that I think is a little bit shorter. One of our listeners asked a question about, it could be the Catholic Church, but it could be any denomination. This is from John. He says, what is your opinion on Roman Catholics? Do you think they are saved? Again, he mentions Roman Catholicism, but it could be true for anything. Mormons, Jehovah Witnesses, Pentecostals, you know, someone with
right.
any group. John's question is, what do you think? Are they saved? I think we're going to be exactly in line here that when you look at any group, well, let's use the example that he gives, Roman Catholicism. The Roman Catholic Church does not preach a saving message. They preach a message that is one of works.
Right.
That salvation is obtained through the church.
Seven sacraments
That's
through
right.
the church.
Yeah. Right. But there are believers within the Roman Catholic Church. There are
in spite of what they're being told.
That's exactly right. And you have people who grew up in the Roman Catholic Church who heard John 3:16 when they were 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, and they believed it and they knew they had eternal life. Or people who are Roman Catholics who hear the gospel, like through this podcast, they're driving down the road, they hear it, they believe it. But they don't leave the Roman Catholic Church because that's the way they grew up. They've never been taught. They don't know they should do this. They don't know. So when we say the question is, are they saved? The answer is, well, there's some of them in there that are saved.
Yeah, I have a new book called The Gospel is Still Under Siege, and it's a 2023 book, which is a kind of a second edition of Hodges' 1981 book, The Gospel Under Siege. And what I suggest, I have a chapter in that book called Do Good Christians Need to Be Saved? And my answer is yes. And by good Christians, I include Mormons and Catholics and Church of Christ and Pentecostals and Charismatics. There are many priests, there are many nuns. They're good Christian people. Donnie and Marie Osmond. Good Christian people, if you call Mormon Christian, which most evangelicals would not, but Mormons call themselves Christian. The question is, do they need to be saved? The answer is yes, because the fact that a person professes to be a Christian doesn't make them born again. The fact that they say, Jesus is my Savior, doesn't make them born again. What makes them born again is because they believe the promise of John 3:16, that by faith in him I have everlasting life apart from works. Most people don't believe that. So my answer is good Christians need salvation. That includes priests. That includes nuns. That includes popes. That includes pastors, deacons, elders, women's leaders, parachurch leaders, you name it. It doesn't matter how well-intentioned they are or how big their following is. If they've never believed in Jesus for the free gift of everlasting life, they've not yet been born again.
And if they have believed
then
it,
they're still born
even
again.
Even they're in that group, right?
Even if they no longer believe it. Like you mentioned,
sure,
people who maybe came to faith when they were young.
Right.
Well, what if they stop believing? Well, they're still born again, even though they're no longer believing. So I like John's question, but I wouldn't just narrow it to Roman Catholics,
sure,
or Orthodox. I would include everybody within Christianity, and of course this applies outside Christianity. I have a message called Most Evangelicals Need Evangelizing. Most evangelicals don't believe the saving message today. Maybe they believed it in the past, but they don't believe it now. And so since we're not sure if they ever believed it, we're going to evangelize them. And even if we were sure they believed it in the past, it's in their best interest to regain assurance, right?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for those questions, and remember,
keep grace in focus.
We have all kinds of free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, it's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, is it possible that someone who believed in Christ then later decided they were an atheist to still have eternal security? Join us for the next Grace in Focus, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.